Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to give you all a quick programming update on a few changes going on here at the Game Plan Podcast. We'll now be giving you, our loyal listeners, two shows per week for the next few months. This episode you're about to hear is going to be the first Game Plan Podcast Coach's Corner, where we'll talk to high school and college coaches who help break down all the action on the field and on the court. We'll also be doing this for college and pro football in the fall, but for right now, we're just starting off with basketball and the NBA playoffs. These episodes will be on the same feed wherever you get your podcast every Wednesday, and we'll also be releasing non-basketball-centric episodes every Monday. You heard me right. Game Plan Podcast twice a week, Monday and Wednesday. If you have any questions, or if you're a coach and you want to be featured on the Coach's Corner, hit us on Instagram or Twitter and let us know. Now, let's get to the show. You could be anywhere, doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an episode of the Game Plan Podcast Coach's Corner. On the Game Plan Podcast Coach's Corner, we're going to talk to coaches and get their vantage point from inside the film room to break down all the action on the court and on the field. So joining us today, Coach Troy Coleman. Coach Troy, how you doing today, my man?
What's up, my brother? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, Coach Troy, where can the folks find you on Twitter, Instagram, all of that?
Oh, you know you're wrong for that. You know I don't do all that stuff. Hey, I just want to thank y'all for letting me come on the show, get my little perspective on the games and all that kind of stuff, all that good stuff. But I am on Twitter. I just forgot the name.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, everybody, Alex Goodwin is my name. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can folks find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy, as in the former president, John F. Miller, as in the NBA Hall of Famer, Reggie Miller, underscore Kennedy Miller, underscore.
All right. Let's get this show on the road. So the NBA playoffs have begun. It is the most wonderful time of the year, 40 games and 40 nights. So what we're going to do here in the first segment of the program, we're going to go through contenders and pretenders. I'm going to name a team. Coach Troy, Ken, and myself are going to tell you if we think they're a contender or a pretender. Let's get this going. So the Brooklyn Nets, they're the seventh seed and they're down 1-0 to the Boston Celtics. Ken, are they a contender or a pretender?
I believe that this team is a contender. Anytime that you have two of the top 10 players in the league, you have a chance to win the championship. The only problem that happened with them this year is their seeding. With them, with Kevin Durant, you know, missing games with his knee, with Kyrie Irving not being able to play home games for a couple of months, it kind of hindered their standings and where they should be. And so they end up playing the best defense in the NBA in the Boston Celtics. But I believe that this team is a top six, top seven team in the NBA, which classifies them as contenders. I just think that they've had bad injury luck and a crazy COVID year with Kyrie Irving. So that kind of hampers them.
Coach Troy, what do you think?
They are contenders if they can make it past this first round. I think it's going to be the toughest situation for them because of the fact, like Kenny, all things Kenny alluded to, the injuries and Kyrie not being able to play. So I think the cohesive is not there yet. But if they can get past the first round, they're definitely going to be contenders.
I'm going to have to disagree with the experts here, fellas. I ain't going to lie to you. And it is not because they aren't talented, right? Because in my opinion, in the playoffs, a lot of things don't, like, system doesn't matter as much. What matters most, in my opinion, is if you have players that can get themselves a shot outside of the system. A guy you can hand the ball to, say, go get me a bucket. Go get me two or three buckets. Move everybody out the way. Go score. And they've got two of the best players in the league that can do that. The whole problem is their lack of consistency. And I personally cannot expect a team to turn over a new leaf in terms of consistency in the playoffs when they have not had that continuity all year long. I just can't expect that. And my other issue is they play no defense. So a team that plays no defense and you're going against Brown and Tatum, how can I expect you to be able to stop them and get stops consistently? That's my big issue. Now, Kyrie and Kevin Durant, they get hot. They're really tough to stop. But you are what you are in the regular season. And I just don't think they're going to be able to just turn it on here in the playoffs.
I can see that. You know, one thing that Coach Troy, when we watched the game yesterday, he kind of pointed out is that, again, this Boston team is ranked the number one defense in the NBA. And, you know, the first, you know, three or four possessions, it seemed like they turned Kevin Durant over the first three possessions of the game. And so when you look at the end result of the game, you're like, Boston only won by one, though. Like, Boston played a great game yesterday at home, and still Kyrie Irving had 39 points. Kevin Durant didn't even play great, but they only lost by 1 point. And this is the best defense in the NBA. Now, do I think, you know, if they get passes, will they face tougher opponents like Milwaukee in the next round? Yes, they will. But for them to be going up against a team of that caliber, and I know Robert Williams is out, so it kind of takes a toll away from how good that they are. But for a team to be, for them to be playing that caliber of a team in the first round and only lose by one first game at home, that's tough. That is tough, and that speaks to how difficult they will be to beat four times out of seven.
That's what I was talking about. You can't. There's no way we can count a Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving team out. You just can't. You gotta have. They gotta be contenders. They have to be because of the star power. I mean, you know, any one of those guys gonna get a bucket. I mean, think about this, Alex. You said some crucial things that you said. You gotta have somebody that can go get a bucket when you need a bucket, no matter what. Well, you got two of those guys, and those two. I mean, you got two of those guys. Yeah, I think the thing I think is the weakness of their team is the coaching. Steve Nash, I've not seen him do. I don't know if he do. We know what he's doing. I mean, it seriously goes that white privilege where they just get jobs. Because I'm shocked at some of the stuff I'm seeing him do. Seriously, and I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm dead serious. Like this guy, I'm just appalled by some of the moves he's made. Either you either scared to coach these guys, or you just don't know what the hell you're doing. It's got to be one or the other.
What does Steve Nash as a coach do well? Like, cause a lot of coaches, like, they're supposed to have some measure of expertise. Mike D'Antoni, we know he's an offensive guy, right? Frank Vogel, we know he's a defensive guy. I don't know anything about Steve Nash's coaching philosophy other than the fact that he's Steve Nash. And like the idea is like when he got that job, Kyrie Irving said, you know, we really don't need a coach. We can just go out here and play. So they just got, this is almost like middle school. Is Steve Nash just rolling the ball out and is like, all right, guys, what do y'all want to do? I mean, just do your thing. I'm just sitting here.
Right. I mean, I have no clue. You know, Coach Troy hit it right on the head. You know, for a guy who had no coaching experience, to get a job where you get to coach Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, as your first time. And, you know, on the same token, James Harden, when he first got the job, you know, that is really appalling. And now, you know, the red flags are starting to question but they have two former All-NBA players that are sitting on the bench for them in big men in LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. So why did these guys not get any burn? And, you know, for the replies that, you know, well, their defense is bad, the Nets defense is already bad. Right. So how much worse can it get? They're already in the bottom half of defensive efficiency. So how much worse can it get by putting a 6'10 or a 6'9 dude out there that can actually hit shots on the offensive end, which I think would make them more difficult to guard offensively if you have like a LaMarcus Aldridge in the game. But you have those guys to bang with those guys that Boston has, Al Horford, Daniel Tice, you know, when Robert Williams comes back, Grant Williams. They put Seth Curry, on Daniel Tice to start the game out. That's how small they're going because you're playing Seth Curry, Patty Mills, and all those guys, and Goran Dragic.
I got to agree with that 100%, man. That's just, like I said, I'm trying to figure out what Steve Nash is doing. I can't figure it out. Because, you know, you have an objective. What's your end game here? Where are we going with this? Where are we going? And that's the thing that really gets me. So I'm trying to figure this out with him. Because when you got a great like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, which I think is the best point guard lead behind Chris Paul, you know, man, there's no way you should be in his predicaments. So I want to know what the heck is going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Moving on to the Dallas Mavericks. They are currently down 0-1 to Utah. So I'm going to start this one out. I think the Mavericks are a pretender. And the reason I'm saying this is, number one, at the moment, Luka Doncic is hurt, right? So let's just be honest about it. Without Luka Doncic, this team is not getting out of the first round. Like, that's not a novel observation. But the issue that they're going to have, even with Luka, is that when Luka's not on the floor, they need somebody that can create a basket for themselves. I think Spencer Dinwiddie is a fine player. I do not trust Spencer Dinwiddie as your number two guy in the playoffs to go get you a bucket if Luka's not on the court. And so they're going to have Luka on the court 40, 45 minutes a night like they did last year when they played the Clippers. And at the end of it, Luka just wore down. Like, Luka just didn't have any more lift in his legs. It's kind of looked like what it looked like in Houston for James Harden. Like, James Harden monopolized the basketball, had a really high usage rate, and it worked in the regular season, but in the playoffs, in the postseason, he ran out of gas. So I think that's going to be one of their issues. Like, I think, to a certain extent, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, I think CJ McCollum, like, they really should have tried to get him at the deadline, because I think that's a guy as a number two option to a Luka Doncic would have been really, really helpful. Now, has Spencer Dinwiddie been fine? Absolutely. But I think McCollum would be the perfect number two in a situation like this. They're much better on defense than they were last year. But I think there's just so much riding on Luka Doncic's shoulders that one injury like what happened can pull the whole thing off the rails. And I think he's going to come back in the series. But when he comes back, what percent is he going to be on? What's his conditioning going to be like when he comes back after not, you know, running up and down the floor for 2 weeks, right? So for those reasons, I think the Mavs are a pretender. I think the Mavs have been a very fun basketball team, but I don't think they can reach contender status this year. Coach Troy, what say you?
Well, I don't just think they're pretenders. I think they're the great pretenders. I mean, I think Luka is a bad boy, right? But I think, I'm just going to pull this out the bag. I think he gets way more credit than he should. I don't think he's a great defender. And I think that's a strategy to beat him. I just go at him all day, every day. And, you know, and we even as black people, we do the same thing. We give these guys, when there's a white guy that can play, which he can play, boy, Cole. But we give him way too much credit. Luka has not got out the first round yet. I know he played the Clippers most times, but he still hasn't got out the first round. So why are we crowning this man? And he has not done anything yet. Most of the players I know got to earn this stuff, but he's getting it right off the top. So I don't understand. I just don't understand that part of it. And like you said, I do agree with the fact that the matter is they don't have a second star. You got to have a co-star. Who is their co-star? Well, they thought it was going to be Porzingis. Obviously, that didn't work out. So who's going to be their co-star? So I definitely agree with that. I think they're definitely pretenders. And don't get me wrong, I like watching the Mavs. They are a fun team to watch. I like, their role players are great. They just need another. They need a co-star, and they need to hire Luka on defense. You know what Golden State do with Steph Curry,
Kennedy
Miller.
So I would say that I agree with both of you guys. I think that they are pretenders. I think that the trade at the deadline helped for them getting Spencer Dinwiddie and getting Davis Bertans from Washington. One thing I will say to the point that you made, I do think that they do need a second scorer to really take that next step, but I'm going to combine that with what Coach Troy was saying. They need a second scorer that can also handle guarding the primary option on the other team, because they don't have that wing, you know, that can just take the responsibility, you know, like a Jaylen Brown, you know what I'm saying, or like a Paul George, that can say, well, Luka, you get 25 to 30. I can chip in 20, 25 too, but I can also handle this responsibility of guarding the other player on the other team. And I think that's what they're missing. You know, Jalen Brunson is a heck of a player. I think he's going to get a lot of money, you know, following this season. And like you said, I like Spencer Dinwiddie too, but I don't really trust him being that number two option. So I think, especially with the Luka injury, I think they're going down in six to the Jazz, depending on when he comes back.
Hold on, I got a separate unrelated question. You mentioned Jalen Brunson. Yo, is it just me or does he have like a really old face? Like, I don't know if y'all watched The Wire, you saw old face Andre. Like, Jalen Brunson got the face of a 50-year-old man.
Like, he does look old.
I'm like, dog, is he 45 years old or something? Like, he text prostate exam on the regular. Hey, man, I thought it was just me. So, moving on to the Golden State Warriors. They're up 1-0 against the 6-seeded Denver Nuggets. So, Ken, what do you think? Contender or pretender?
I think they're a pretender. Just based on their arrogance, I would say this year. I think that them not adding a big man of some sorts, whether it be waiting for James Wiseman or thinking that they're good enough to stand pat against this loaded Western Conference is going to spell trouble for them. They're going to beat this guy that's going to get his second straight MVP, who I don't think deserves it. But I don't think that they beat Memphis, and I don't think that they beat Phoenix if they do beat Memphis, because they don't have a true big man. I don't think that they can stop the likes of Jaren Jackson and the Steven Adams combo in Memphis. I don't think that they can stop DeAndre Ayton, and even if they make the finals, I don't think that if they have anybody to stop Giannis. And I think that is a fundamental problem that for their team, you know, not just the fact that they're getting older, some of their role players are getting older. Iguodala, you know, looks like a shell of himself. Klay is spotty, you know, played well game one, but he had some games this year where he didn't really look the same. I know he's coming off injury, but still.
Coach Troy, what do you think?
I think, you know, I know this. I'm going to say it out loud because it is fun. Now the airwaves can hear. I believe Steph Curry is the most overrated star to play the game. That's just my opinion, right? I think the reason they're good is because of Klay Thompson. Now, I'm going to say this, but I think once Klay gets his legs back, I believe that they'll become that contender they once were. What's going to help them tremendously is Jordan Poole. He's going to help tremendously. He's a hell of a role player. And, of course, Kevon Looney, my Milwaukee brother. You know, hey, Milwaukee boys is balling. So I'm definitely going to say they're contender. I mean, all jokes aside, I really believe they are a contender because of that. And then when you add a guy like Steph Curry in the mix, of course, he's a showman. So, you know, he adds that element you need for that sort of quote-unquote superstar. Even though, again, I believe he's overrated. I think we had these arguments all the time. They say he's the greatest shooter in the game. I don't believe that. Do you guys know that, fun fact, Russell Westbrook has a higher percentage of shooting this year than Steph Curry, who you guys labeled as the greatest shooter of all time?
Definite food for thought. Absolutely. This is a tough one because this is a team that's been there before and they've won titles. They've been in big heavyweight fights before. But I think we're getting to the point with the Warriors is that their time has passed. You know, this is almost like Muhammad Ali at the end of his career, right? Or like, to make a music reference, my dad's a big Parliament Funkadelic fan, right? Mm. He went to see Parliament and George Clinton at a concert, I think a year or so ago. And my dad was like, hey, man, it ain't like it used to be, man. This ain't 1984 anymore. And it's kind of sad. He was like, the heart is still in it, you know, but it just ain't the same. The bass line ain't hitting like it used to. We still love the song. We still love George Clinton, but that's not, they aren't who they used to be. They can't quite hit the notes they used to, right? I think a Golden State team, five finals, right?
Yes.
That's a lot of extra wear and tear on your body. That's almost basically a whole extra season of basketball you've played over those 5 years. Right. So I think they're going to be a very tough out given that experience and given, you know, they're champions. But I think the injuries and Phoenix, I don't think they're going to be able to beat Phoenix or Memphis. I just don't. I think this is going to be a passing of the torch. You know, Ken, do you remember when Brock Lesnar beat The Rock at SummerSlam 2002?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Coach Troy, I know you're not a wrestling guy, but still, that was the passing of the torch. So I think the Warriors are pretenders. It hurts me to say, but I think they're pretending, man.
I just compare it to, if we want to put it in basketball terms, you know, after the Lakers had went back to back, and then they kind of had a down year in 2011, but then they played that Oklahoma City team in 2012, who the Lakers were the veteran team, you know, just basically coming off repeating, and Oklahoma City just came in and swept them. And it was basically, like you said, a passing of the torch. KD and Russell Westbrook, you know, showed that they had arrived and they were true contenders. And I think that, you know, that is what will happen. I don't think Memphis will sweep them, but I think it'll be uglier than what people think if they meet Memphis in the second round.
You never count a champion out. Muhammad Ali, at the time, only three-time world champion ever at that time. You know why they, you know, he's a three-time world champion? Because people counted him out. They thought, there's no way he's going to be Leon Spinks. The guy's 10 years younger than him. Blah, blah, blah. What Ali do? Put them hands on him. So you got to give, you can never count a champion out. That's why I'm going to give them that. That look, they've been there. They know what it takes. They know what it takes. And they got a bunch of young guys. The reason I say that, because they got a bunch of young guys who are buying into everything they're doing. And when you got young guys that's doing, they're buying into the same thing that you're talking about. You know, the young guys, they're going to be the reason why they win it. Now, the old guys going to get the respect, going to get the props. But the young guys will be the guy, the reason they win it, if they do win it. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I definitely can't call them pretenders.
All right. Moving on to the Miami Heat. They are up 1-0 against the 8th-seeded Atlanta Hawks. Coach Tor, are they contenders or pretenders?
They are pretenders. I don't care about them being number one seed. I don't care about that mess. Now, I got a lot of respect for them. Obviously, they have a very, very good team. But you can't win an NBA without a superstar. They don't have one. They don't have one. Jimmy Buckets is not a superstar. Stop it. Jimmy Buckets is a pretender. He's a pretend tough guy. How many people you see him swing on?
That is true.
How many people have you seen him swing on? I mean, he looked tough. He looked the part. But what happened when you down his ass and came at that ass? Yeah, y'all saw it. You saw it. He didn't want none of that smoke, did he? I'm going to label them as the great pretenders. I believe that I think Spoelstra can coach. I think he knows he definitely does a good job. I think they have a good team, but they missing that element, that superstar element. That's why the Bucks didn't care about the regular season. If you notice, the Bucks are playing it like champions. They watch LeBron James. The regular season don't mean that no more. You're going to see the real Bucks. You're going to see it, man.
For those that don't know at home, Coach Coleman is a Milwaukee native and a Milwaukee Bucks supporter. He faithfully wears a Milwaukee Bucks t-shirt before every game.
You're damn right.
This is probably the toughest one for me to decide. But you know what? I have to say that they're pretenders. I have to. I can't even say that they're contenders. I can't. Because, you know, as Coach Troy said, you got to have some guys that down the stretch, not even just a superstar per se, but somebody that you can depend on to make timely shots. You know, last year when Giannis wasn't doing it, they had Chris Middleton, who we don't consider a superstar, but he was making timely shots for them down the stretch. Miami, I don't know who that guy is. Jimmy Butler has shown that he can, but he's also shown that he can go 6-for-18, 6-for-19, and look like a shell of himself. Duncan Robinson, you know, just went crazy, went 8-for-9 against the Atlanta Hawks from three this past game. But, you know, he could also be a no-show. Tyler Hero had an improved year from last year, but we don't know it yet until we see it. And I don't think, again, when I think of contenders, I think of the top 6 to 7 teams in the league. Miami is a really good regular season team, but I don't think that they're better than Philadelphia. I don't think that they're better than Brooklyn. I don't think that they're better than Milwaukee. All these teams, I would take in a playoff series over them.
So for me, I'm going to have to agree with you guys. Now, you know who Miami reminds me of in terms of a team? They remind me of last year's Utah team. Like, Utah was a team last year we saw had a great regular season, you know, did that thing, won a lot of ball games. But for me, when I watched that Utah team, I was like, all right, do they have a guy that can do it when it matters? You know, they're a great team, but I feel like just like this Miami team this year, they are better than the sum of its parts. They're a well-coached, well-run organization, but you need a superstar to eventually get you over the hump. And we can think back on the last 20 years. I can think there's only been two teams in the past 20 years that have won the championship without a true superstar at the time. That would be the 2014 San Antonio Spurs. This is at the end of Duncan, the tail end of Ginobili and Parker, and before the full-on ascension of Kawhi Leonard into the Kawhi Leonard we see today. So that 14 Spurs team and the 2004 Detroit Pistons team. Right? Now, there might be some teams before that. You know, we're kind of young over here, Ken. We have to defer to Coach Troy on that one. By and large, you need a guy that's going to be able to get you there. I don't think Miami has a guy that can get them there. I think Miami will probably lose in the second round to Philadelphia. But, I think Jimmy Butler is probably best suited to be a number two.
Agreed.
Like, Jimmy Butler would probably be one of the more overqualified twos in the league. But I feel like it would be a better spot for him. You'd rather have an overqualified number two player than a underqualified number one. So for all those reasons, I think, and it hurts me to say this, it really does, I think Miami is a pretender.
Let me elaborate a little bit on that. As far as the in the last 20 years, I wouldn't put the Spurs on that list. I definitely was thinking of the Detroit Pistons. The reason I don't put the Spurs on this again, Tim Duncan was a superstar. Now, he's a quiet superstar, but he's still a superstar. He that guy. So even though he's older, but he still got him on the team. And you saw what he did. Anytime they needed a real bucket, who'd they go to?
Old man.
There you go.
Ken, you looking like you having bad flashbacks. I tell you what, I love that series. I really did. I know you didn't, Ken.
Hey, that was... That was one of the rougher series that I've ever, been a fan of on the other side of that. They just came out on a mission. And like Coach Troy said, they were a little bit older as far as their core. But, Tim Duncan, all in all, is still the best power forward to ever play. And so that's one of the main things that Miami just had no answer for, was just the size down low to combat against Tim Duncan, and the ball movement that they had that series was immaculate. But they cut the air off in game one. They cut the air conditioning off. We were winning. LeBron caught a cramp, and it changed the trajectory of the entire series.
Alex, let me ask him one question, Alex.
Talk to him.
Can I ask him one question first, Alex?
Go ahead.
They cut the air off, right, Coach Miller?
Yes, sir.
Everybody got the air cut off on them. How come he the only one that got cramps?
He's the only one built like that.
LeBron needed some pickle juice, man. Some pickle juice. He needed something, because that's what my mom used to give me before games, pickle juice. If it worked for me, and I'm, a no-star football player, I was, it should work for somebody. Like, he needs some pickle juice. He needs to get his electrolytes up, Kennedy. Look, don't be upset, Ken.
Excuses.
Look.
I'm fine now. I'm good now. We moved on. I knew you were going to bring it up. You had a smirk on your face. Both of you did. Somebody was going to bring it up. They just wanted to bring it up. That's you had a smirk on your face, Alex. I knew you wanted to.
Hey, Alex, did you see his face?
Bruh.
I loved it.
Kennedy knows. As a Spurs fan, as a diehard Spurs fan, I love bringing up that series to him. I really, really do. But speaking of LeBron, we got to leave it right there. But we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast. On the other side of the break, we're going to do a post-mortem on the sorry, sad sack LA Lakers. And where do they go from here? If you ask me, I don't think they're going nowhere. I know Kennedy disagrees. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. This is the Game Plan Podcast. Coach's Corner. Don't go nowhere. From teams that are in the playoffs and maybe contenders or pretenders, to a team we know is a pretender, to a team we know was sorry, to a team we know was the biggest walking disappointment, possibly the biggest, most terrible walking disappointment in the history of the National Basketball Association. I'm talking about LeBron James and the LA Lakers. Okay. Kennedy Miller's upset with me right now, and I can just see it on his face, but that's cool. That's all good. The Lakers last year were 33-49. Some folks thought they could go all the way to the NBA championship and host that O'Brien trophy. Instead, they're going to be in the lottery in a couple of weeks. So Kennedy Miller, the Lakers, a team with no first rounders till 2027, a team that has a declining or old top three players or injured top three players. How on earth, Kennedy Miller, the eternal optimist, how can the LA Lakers swindle their way out of this one? How can they fix this? What's the path forward for the Lakers, Mr. Miller?
I mean, the first thing is you got to find your head coach. To that, I don't know who the answer is. You know, I don't necessarily want Doc Rivers. I don't think a guy like Nick Nurse would become available, even though he is a clutch client. Another guy, Quinn Snyder, I thought he might be available if the Jazz were to lose in the first round. With Luka being hurt, I don't think that they will be out in the first round. Also, it was reported that he didn't really like how they handled the Frank Vogel firing situation, which kind of, you know, tainted the Lakers' image on there. You have to get out of the Russell Westbrook situation. The last thing that I read, you know, it was, you know, at least 5 to 7 teams that could be of interest that would want to take that salary, that $47 million salary cap, only because he would be on a 1-year deal and they would be getting rid of bad contracts and getting 47 mil in free space next summer. Teams such as, you know, the Hornets, but teams that have players that are on bad contracts in effort to get off of those contracts. So somebody like the Hornets, like a Gordon Hayward, but you would have to couple that with like a Miles Plumlee and Kelly Oubre or something like that. But you got to get rid of the Russell Westbrook situation. You know, in my opinion, you have to go back to what won you a championship. You gotta, the whole league is starting now to go big again, but you know, one of the best teams at doing it was those 2020 Lakers teams with LeBron and AD and the big man combo they had of Dwight and JaVale. Now you can't recreate that same magic. JaVale is doing great in Phoenix. Dwight is still serviceable, but you need another solid big man to pair with LeBron and Anthony Davis, especially because of Anthony Davis's unwillingness to play the five in the regular season. And then, you know, the last thing, you just got to be healthy. Like, we just can't act like this team wasn't going to make the playoffs if everybody was healthy for the whole year. And I'm not going to say that everybody should have played 82 games because that's not realistic. But if you give everybody a 10, 15 games where they miss time, this team would make the playoffs. They were fifth in the West at the end of December. They had just won 2 games in a row. And then Jaden McDaniels from the Minnesota Timberwolves falls into Anthony Davis's leg. And from that point on, I think Anthony Davis and LeBron maybe played 10 more games together for the entirety of the regular season. You got a lot of guys coming off 1-year deals. So you got a lot of spots to fill. You got to get some veteran minimum guys. You probably expect Kendrick Nunn to opt into his player option, which another person who did not play for the entire year on your mid-level exception. Your mid-level exception, especially for when you have a team with, you know, 1 to 2 or 3 max contract, your mid-level exception guy has to be a guy that gives you that fourth best player production. And that guy didn't even play the entire season for the Lakers. Hopefully he'll play. Hopefully they can figure something out. Lou Aldang's contract is finally off the books. Thank God. Thank God for that. Shout out to Lou Aldang's agent for fleecing the Lakers for all these years. The main thing is health. And some of that, you know, could be attributed to LeBron's age. Some of that, you know, I also think is just freak injuries. Anthony Davis landed on somebody's foot and then somebody fell into his knee. You know, like, that isn't better training in the offseason. That isn't, you know, better diet. That was just freak accidents that happened. And so, yeah, this year was a failure. Probably the biggest failure in NBA history, considering the expectations, considering the betting odds that had them at the beginning of the year. And so you just got to retool now. You just got to get some solid role players around them and a coach that ownership, you have to be tied into what the head coach wants. We said earlier, Frank Vogel is allegedly a defensive coach. Well, then why did we get all these offensive guys? And Frank Vogel needs to take some blame in this too, because you're supposed to be a defensive coach, but DeAndre Jordan, by numbers, is one of the worst defenders for any big man in the league.
He was 46.
You're starting. DeAndre Jordan is 32.
I'm messing with you.
But no, I get what you're saying. But at the same time, even though he's fallen off his performance peak, age-wise, he's in the peak of being an NBA player in the tail end. But anybody with eyes knows that he's not a starting big man in the league. And the starting lineup opening night, you play two guys who started getting DNPs 40 games left into the season. Kid Bazemore. So everybody deserves to be accountable for how bad this went. LeBron, Frank Vogel, Rob Pelinka, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis. Because Anthony Davis didn't look in shape when the season started. He looked a little bigger. And he shot 18% from three in the games that he played, the worst in the NBA. Everybody's got to be held accountable.
Coach Kennedy Miller, but why you don't give LeBron James no? I mean, you gave him a little bit of, you gave him just a little bit. You just sprinkled a little bit on him. But let's be real. You got to get a coach in L.A. that's not afraid to coach LeBron James. That's why Ty Lue would have been a perfect coach for that team. You can't be afraid to coach LeBron James. If you're being honest, and if you're a real ball player, and the real ball player is going to know exactly what I'm talking about, LeBron James is record chasing. He's stat chasing. He's not playing defense any longer. If he played defense, that means his numbers would have went down. He wouldn't average 30. He would have averaged probably about 24, 25. They would have won more games. That's a nice core of young people they got. They're not winning a championship with that core, of course, without AD. But if AD, and I believe LD, what AD was, if you say, look like he put on a little more pounds, but he worked out in the summer. He gained, it was muscle weight he gained, not fat.
Right.
So I believe that if LeBron would play his role like a coach would make him do, like LeBron, if you're watching his games, he literally plays no defense no more. The defense is out the window. He is stat chasing. Anybody can see that. And y'all gotta start being real with LeBron. You know he's trying to be the scoring leader of all time. You know he's trying to take that title from Kareem. We know that.
So you think LeBron is the biggest reason why?
I think LeBron is definitely the biggest reason. He wanted, and then another reason, he wanted all these guys. He wanted Russell Westbrook. You know he wanted Russell. And I told you from day one, I said when they got him, I said, man, that ain't going to work. I said you know from day one. Hold on. Answer that for me. Did I say that to you?
Yeah.
Okay, then. Go ahead.
But you can't say that he wanted all these guys, but then don't mention the guys that he wanted that they didn't do.
I can mention that. I can mention that. Because, listen, LeBron is a smart player. He's a very intelligent man. You know this, right? He know what the hell he's doing. He know if he played better defense, that team would have been better. LeBron didn't give a damn. He didn't give a damn. He did not give a damn about this, especially after AD got hurt.
So AD healthy, are they not still missing the playoffs?
Of course they're not missing playoffs. But I'm saying, I believe they would have made the playoffs. I just think LeBron is on this thing like this. Because, like I said, very intelligent man. If I can't win at all, I don't give a damn about being in the playoffs. I think he's on that. I think he is. Because the man was not trying to win them games. It was games they could have won. I know they could have won. And I watched it. I watched. Like, Ron don't even play D no more. He's not playing defense anymore. He's trying to get buckets. I know you disagree. You always disagree. Remember the game LeBron rolled his ankle, right? You always like, okay, I know you're driven flowing. That's cool. You're driven flowing. You're going to continue to play the game. But how do you manage to miss three games after that? I mean, I can see if you missed one, but you played.
His ankle was swollen.
But he played the rest of that game. Now, I know what the journal for, but, man, if you can play the rest of the game, like AD, he couldn't play no more. It was done.
What did you tell me at the beginning of the year?
What did I tell you?
He's old, man. He's 38.
He's 37.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's 37. Them same type of injuries, he can't come back from like that no more.
Yeah, but he played that game.
You can finish playing a game.
Hey, you know, I'm going to give you an example. Alex, check this out. Kenny and I were watching the game LeBron James playing. He only has 7 points in the game.
We didn't watch that game.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We watched the game. You left. And you left.
Wait. We were on the road.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh. I watched the game. Uh-huh. I watched the game. And I'm watching the game. And LeBron has 7 points. He rolled his ankle. What was his name? Solomon Hill.
When that Solomon Hill fell into LeBron's ankle. You can bleep me out if you want to. That made Solomon Hill rolled into LeBron's ankle in a regular season game. Solomon.
Hey, Kenny, Coach Miller, calm down. Don't be so angry with Solomon Hill. He's a good guy. So Solomon rolled into LeBron's ankle. But you know what he did? LeBron James stayed in the game. He went and sat in the corner, shot a three, made the three, and checked out the game. And then we didn't see him for another 2 months. Please explain that.
Injuries derailed that team, too.
Boy, I tell you, they got more excuse for LeBron than a black man going to jail. I'm going to tell you like this. LeBron, he gets all the credit for when they win, but they don't give him no.
I just gave him.
No, you gave him a sprinkle.
He shouldn't have persuaded them to try and trade for Russell Westbrook.
Is he stat chasing?
I don't think he's stat chasing.
Right. That's my point.
So, few things on the Lakers. Number one, I think that given this organization's lack of competence over the past 10, 11 years since Dr. Buss has died, I don't think we can just assume they'll be able to figure this out easily and quickly, right? If this was the Miami Heat, I'd be able to give the organization the benefit of the doubt. If this was the San Antonio Spurs, I might be able to give them the benefit of the doubt. But given this is the Los Angeles Lakers, and given how incompetent the Buss family has demonstrated themselves to be, I can't reasonably expect them to figure this out and figure this out and do this well. Like, the thing is with this team, I just have a question. Who runs the place, right? Is it the Buss family? Is it Rob Pelinka? Is LeBron in clutch? Because in a place like Miami, if LeBron James walks up to Pat Riley and is like, hey, I got this idea, I think we should go try to get Russell Westbrook. I can guarantee you Pat Riley would have took that little suggestion, said, all right, we'll think about it. We'll figure it out. Like, hell no, we ain't doing no stupid like that. Not at all. But in a place like Los Angeles, where we don't really know who the point man is on anything, something like that can fly. Secondly, who are you going to be able to hire as a coach that's going to be an actual good coach? Because we know they don't actually want to pay for a good coach. They want a good coach, but they don't want to pay for one. And they want somebody that they can control. The reason they didn't get Monty Williams or T. Lou, because they interviewed for this job the last time it was open in 2019, is because T. Lou did not want to put Kurt Rambis on the staff, and he was not going to take a below market deal just to coach the LA Lakers. So they could have had T. Lou or Monty Williams, right? They were too cheap to actually pay for a good coach, because good coaches cost. So who are they going to get? What retread are they going to get this time? Terry Stotts? Dave Yeager? I heard the name Mark Jackson get floated around, but Mark Jackson been out of the game almost 10 years. He'd been sitting alongside Jeff Van Gundy rambling, raving about nothing. So, like, that's my first question. And secondly, on the floor, how realistic is it for us to expect LeBron James to continue to play at this level for this long? He was phenomenal last year, statistically speaking. It didn't help the team in terms of winning, but he still played basketball at generally a high level, at least on the bare minimum on the offensive side of the floor. But given LeBron's age, how many games can we expect out of him? Given Anthony Davis is just being fragile, and Ken, I've said this to you on and off air, I think Anthony Davis should be load managed. He should not be playing but 60 to 61 games per year. Like, just book it. Like, max, if he's healthy, 60 games. Because his legs can't take it. They just can't. And then this Russell Westbrook thing. Like, this Westbrook trade can possibly alter the course of the franchise for the next 10 to 11 years. Because if they have to dump that 2027 one to get Russell Westbrook out of the door, they're left with no ones for the foreseeable future. And then when LeBron James retires in a year or two, it's going to be Anthony Davis left to his own devices. What does this look like long term? And if it doesn't work next year, even if you do part with Russell Westbrook and that first round pick, and let's say you get bounced in the second round, was it all for naught? You know what I mean? Because I think this organization has to start thinking long term. I know LeBron is like, yeah, F them picks, but LeBron ain't going to be here in 4 years, you know? And whatever coach they try to hire, like, how long is this coach going to be here?
Well, I think that, you know, especially with the picks, you look at every team that's trying to contend right now. The Clippers have no picks for the next 5 or 6 years. And you and I talked about this, you know, through a Twitter discussion, but you think Kawhi Leonard's going to retire in the foreseeable future. You don't see him lasting that long. So, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, I think they're a little bit, it's weird to say the Clippers are actually a competent organization. I can't believe that sentence really just left my mouth. But, you know, they seem to have a little bit more alignment, you know, on some things, long terms. In turn, like, just with the Lakers, again, I can't tell who's in charge. And To me, that's the big thing. Now, the picks always comes down to, do you believe you're going to be able to contend long term? And if you're not going to have first round picks, can you develop through the G League and, you know, turn, you know, diamonds in the rough? If you think you can do that and you can do that, then okay. There's only a handful of teams I've seen, like, on a consistent basis that can turn twos to sevens or eights, and that's San Antonio and Miami.
Right. Well, here's what I believe. When you have two of the top 10, 15 players in the NBA, you got a chance to win the championship. And they've already demonstrated they've got one. When you have that, you got to cash all your chips in. I don't blame anybody for trading picks or using up all their cap space to maximize winning the championship. Toronto trading for Kawhi Leonard when he fell out of the sky, it was worth it. Because only one person wins every year. So you don't know when you're going to have another chance. And, okay, LeBron leaves in 4 years. So you don't have no cap space, no picks. You'll be okay. Look at Cleveland this year. They got a lot of young talent. They're going to be just fine. So two players of those of that caliber, they've struggled with injuries these past, you know, 2 years. You just hope that they can stay healthy. Like you said, try and find a competent coach. Now, I will agree with you. That is going to be tough because out of the names that I've heard, I haven't heard one guy where I'm like, that's a really good coach. That's somebody that can really turn it around for them. And so you got to find a coach. You got to build it around the right role players with a combination of youth, athleticism. And like I said, you got to get, you got to get some more bigs. But man, the picks and the cap space and with the long term, I worry about that stuff when it happens. I'm trying to win a championship right now. It's only two teams in the teams with the highest payroll. It's only two teams in the top 10 that did not make the playoffs. The Lakers had the fourth highest and the Clippers had the third. Everybody else is in the playoffs. So you got to spend money, and it's always going to look bad. Every team that LeBron has been on has looked like this coming towards year four. No cap space, no real draft picks.
Old.
And not a lot of young players, right? A lot of role players. But now you kind of got to reverse that trend because he's older. So you got to get the young players, kind of like a Malik Monk who people thought was an afterthought, or you know, maybe Charlotte just didn't want to pay him just because they had a lot of young guys. But you got to find those gems that are willing to prove themselves with those two veteran guys trying to win a championship.
That's definitely a recipe. But to me, it just boils down to not being afraid to coach LeBron James. You got to realize who you are now. You are definitely still a great player. To me, still top five in the NBA, right? Yeah. But you got to lower his role. You got to lessen his role. You got to break it down, man. You got to be a straight three. I think you'd be a straight three, man. And, I think your average 23 to 25 points a game with that alone. And LeBron, you're going to play some defense, LeBron. He's capable. We've seen what he can do. We know he's one of the best defenders when he really wants to. He shows it. But I need you for a longer period of a game, LeBron, because you take a lot of plays off. And if you're being realistic, Mr. Miller, you would keep it real with that.
Last point to that. And that 2020 championship team, you had guys like Jason Kidd, guys like Jared Dudley, guys like Lionel Hollins, you know, that were not the head coach, but you know that those guys were holding everybody accountable on that team. That is what they need to try and find this offseason.
Absolutely.
I tell you what I think the Buss family needs to do. Need to call Coach TC. You get LeBron in order right quick. But we are out of time here on the program, on the Game Plan Podcast, Coach's Corner. So, Coach Troy, we appreciate you for hanging out with us. Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
So I got his Twitter. Find what he calls himself, the unknown GOAT.
Absolutely.
And I must say, I agree. The unknown GOAT on Twitter at underscore Coach TC underscore. Again, that's underscore Coach. TC underscore.
TC as in Troy Coleman.
You got to come up with a cool, you got to come up with something cool that T, what the T stands for, what the C stands for, Coach.
I got you on the next one, baby. I got you on the next one.
All right. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _Kennedy, as in the former NFL offensive lineman Cortez Kennedy. Miller, as in the former NBA three-point marksman Mike Miller. _KennedyMiller_.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in Tangeray, S as in Sangria, M as in Margaritas. Follow the show on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Again, on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, for Coach Troy, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast Coach's Corner. We will see you guys next time.